2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Amen. God again will add his blessing to his own precious word. Let's just bow together for a moment and ask the Lord's help. Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank you again for your goodness to us today. We thank you for health and strength, for soundness of body and mind. We thank you, Lord, that you've so ordered the events of our day that we find ourselves in your house this evening. And we thank you, Lord, for the messages and song that have been brought to our heart, for the message and the hymns that we've been singing together. And now as we turn to your precious word, we ask that you'll write its truth indelibly upon our hearts. We pray, our Father, for hearing ears, understanding hearts, and wisdom, that we might rightly divide the word of God. For we ask this in the Savior's name. Amen. We're taking verse 15 to form the basis of our text for this evening. And there the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Last night in our meeting, we had a very wonderful testimony of the saving grace of God and of God's keeping power. And there's nothing that thrills my heart or charms my soul more than to hear the testimony of a life that has been revolutionized by the power of the gospel of Christ. Some people are saved when they are older, and some people are saved when they are young. And tonight we're going to center our thoughts upon the testimony or the record of Timothy's conversion. Now, Timothy was a young man, and of course the little verse says, there's a time to be saved. Let that truth be engraved upon my heart and my mind when I'm young. And that truth was engraved on the heart and the mind of Timothy when he was a young man. His mother Eunice was a Jew and his father was a Greek. A young man who didn't enjoy good health, but who was in great health spiritually. Now, Paul refers to Timothy again and again as my son. There was no physical relationship between the two men, but there was most certainly a spiritual relationship, because though his mother and his grandmother had sown the good seed of God's word, then under the preaching of the Apostle Paul, that seed came to fruition in the conversion of young Timothy. And so Paul was his spiritual father and often referred to him as my son. I trust tonight that you have a testimony to give. I trust that you know Christ as your personal Savior, that you can look back to that moment, though you may forget the time or the date, but that you can look back to a place where you were wonderfully saved by the grace of God. Now, we made reference last night to the Apostle Paul, and he was saved at the side of the road. Lydia, she was saved at the side of the river. I personally was saved at the side of my bed. Friend, where were you saved? Are you saved? And the Bible tells us that salvation is a must. It is not something that is optional in my life. It is something that is imperative. But the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. And when we talk about salvation, we're talking about a must in your life and mine. Jesus said to Nicodemus, and though he was a religious teacher of the Jews, Jesus said, you must be born again. Tonight, as we come to look at the conversion of Timothy, trust that God will use these thoughts to your heart and to bring you to faith in himself. There's three simple things that I want to leave with you. There's first of all, the truth that Timothy learned. Paul says that from a child, thou hast known the scriptures. Now there's many people in Ulster, and probably you in this meeting can say that like young Timothy, from a child, you have known the scriptures. After all, most people in this province were brought up to know what is right and what is wrong. And we were sent to church and we were sent to Sunday school. And from childhood days, we were taught the scriptures. That is a great privilege, though many don't think so tonight. Now, thinking about the truth of his learning, the Bible teaches us certain great truths. It teaches us the cause of sin. What was the cause of sin? How did it all come about? The Bible reminds us of the disobedience of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. That was disobedience to God's word. Because God had said in Genesis chapter 2 and the verses 16 and 17 that of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. But then the devil, he comes along and he casts doubt into the mind of Eve. And surely God is depriving you of something that should be legitimately yours. And they pressed beyond God's boundary line and wrecked the world. And sadly today, that is how the devil works in the heart and minds of many, pressing people to go beyond God's boundary line. And of course, instead of bringing what they thought it might bring, it brought terrible shame and terrible sorrow. That's what sin does, friend. It brings sorrow into our lives. It brings shame into our lives. And it brings suffering into our lives. They disobeyed God's word. And they disobeyed, of course, God's way. God's way was a way of obedience. But then the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It doesn't say there is a way that is right. There is a way which seemeth right. And many go down the pathway of sin because it seems the right thing to do. That's the way to go. That's what the devil says. That's what the old cronies of the world will say. Come with us. And sometimes people think they're missing something if they don't do that. Remember one day standing, and I was looking over a bridge. I was looking at the water. Maybe you wonder, what would you be looking at water for? Well, I like a bit of fishing, and I wanted to see if it was right for fishing. And I was looking over the bridge, and a man came down, and he was looking over as well. And we got talking. And then he said to me, he says, pulled a packet of cigarettes out of his pocket and flicked them open. He said, do you smoke? I said, I don't smoke. Then he said, will you come up to the pub for a drink? I said, I don't drink. He says, would you do a flutter on a horse? I said, I don't gamble. My God, he says, do you live at all? That was his word. And that was his conception of life. And that's how it was with our first parents in the Garden of Eden. They felt there was something more. God had given them the freedom of the entire garden, but that one tree, but that wasn't enough. And they disobeyed God's precious way and God's word. And they disobeyed God's will. And God's will for them in the Garden of Eden was that they might live in perfect harmony with Him forever. And of course, the Shorter Catechism reminds us of that glorious truth that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But still, they violated the Word of God, the way of God, and the will of God. My friend, God's will for you is your salvation. Jesus said, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, I have no delight in the death of him that dieth. Because of sin, disobedience by our first parents in the Garden of Eden, and Adam is our federal head, and we all fall in him. They not only teach us the cause of sin, those scriptures that we learn from childhood days, but they teach us the corruption of sin. And sin corrupts every aspect of your life and mine. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 10 onward, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. You see, there is an intellectual departure from God. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And what he is saying in God's word is this, that the mind and the heart and the hands and the throat and the tongue and the feet have all been corrupted and contaminated and depraved by sin. None righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a righteous man on the earth. And of course, those scriptures teach us the cost of sin. And sin is costly. Sometimes when people get up to testify, they will go and they will say what it cost them to become a Christian. And friend, tonight, I don't want you to think what it'll cost you to become a Christian. I want you to consider what it will cost you not to become a Christian. For whatever it costs you to become a Christian, it'll cost you an awful lot more not to become a Christian. It'll cost you your immortal soul forever in a lost eternity. And when you think of sin, I tell you, there's no cost in giving that up. In the light of what you will gain through putting your trust in Christ, the Bible teaches the cost of sin, for the wages of sin is death. You see, nothing in the garden ever died until Adam sinned. The grass never withered. The flowers never faded. The leaves never died on the tree or fluttered to the ground. But when Adam sinned, death entered into the world. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's the cost of sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death is threefold. There's physical death because of sin. There's spiritual death because of sin. There's eternal death because of sin. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 59 and the verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not here. What a terrible cost. Friend, if you were to die in your sin, then be eternally separated from God, the awful cost of sin. But then the Bible doesn't finish there, because it teaches cure for sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And those familiar verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the cure for sin, that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, the ransom price of your sin and mine. That's the truth that Timothy was taught. And he was taught that from childhood days. My friend, haven't you been taught that from childhood days? You're not learning anything new in this mission. But we want God to make old truth to live in you in your heart. There is a remedy for man's sin. There is a panacea. There is a cure. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all man's sin. You can have a religion without Christ. That's not the answer to your sin question. Christ is the answer. But there's not only the truth of his learning, but the Bible speaks about the time of his learning. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Many can testify that from a child they were taught the Holy Scriptures. Now the Bible reminds us that he was taught by the family. There was his mother. And there was his grandmother. And they had earnestly taught young Timothy the way of salvation. And then the Apostle Paul comes along, and under the preaching of the Apostle, that good seed that had been sown in the young man's heart germinates and comes to life, resulting in Timothy's conversion. Thank God for Christian parents. Thank God for good mothers and fathers. And maybe there's a mother and a father here, and you earnestly taught your children what was right and what was wrong, and you got them to Sunday school and you got them to church, but then when they got to that age of their life like the prodigal, they wanted you to stop exercising your authority over them. They wanted to be their own person, do their own thing, go their own way, be their own man or their own woman. And maybe tonight they're out in the world and you're disappointed. But remember what God says in His Word, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And God is faithful and God is good to His promise. But thank God for parents who taught us the Scriptures of truth. Maybe it wasn't always appreciated by us. But we can thank God tonight for the interest they took in our soul. But he was not only taught by the family, but then he was taught for the future. We quoted that verse from Proverbs 22 and verse 6, training up a child the way he shall go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. There may be years of departure, just as there was in the life of the prodigal son. And he went into the far country of sin. And the Bible says he wasted his substance in riotous living, and he spent all. But then we read these glorious words. He came to himself. And he said, I'll arise and I'll go to my father's house. The Bible tells us of his rising and his coming to the Father's house. But maybe there's someone in this meeting. And you were taught the Scriptures. And you were taught the Scriptures from you were a child. And maybe you're here tonight and still you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know everything there is to know about Him because you were taught that. You know about His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His coming again. But do you know Christ? Sadly, there's many in our province this night, and they know all there is to know about Him, but they don't know Him personally as Savior. The easiest time, the vital time to come to know Christ, of course, is when we're young. Is it not a fact? And maybe I'm speaking to someone's heart. As people get on in life and get settled down in their ways and sinful habits are formed, they become increasingly difficult to break with and give up. But friend, you can be saved. And there's an urgency in the matter of your soul's salvation that under the preaching of the Word of God, even in this mission, that seed sown in earlier days might come to fruition. Then I want you to notice the triumph of his learning. Because Paul said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What he had learned has now come to fruition. You see, that was a red letter day in the apostle's life, the day of his conversion. That was his graduation day. My friend, has there ever been such a day in your life? The Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things pass away, and all things become new. And you'll have heaven in your soul. I remember coming up the Isle of Skye one night, and I was hungry, and I still had to drive down to Edinburgh. I went into a shop to buy something, and my accent gave me away, and the lady says, "What are you doing here?" So I told her what I was doing there, and then I said, "Would you be a Christian yourself?" She says, "I hope so." She says, "I go to church." In fact, she says, "I go twice on Sunday morning." She says, "I go to the English service and I go to the Gaelic service." And she says, "I actually go to the prayer meeting during the week." But she says, "I don't know if I'm saved because we can't know." Friend, you can know. And Timothy knew that he was saved. Paul knew that he was saved. For he said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And the scripture says, "These things are written that you might know." The children sing in their children's meeting, "I know that I've been born again." Do you know that you've been born again? The Bible says that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My friend, do you have that witness, that assurance in your heart? Can you say, "This one thing I know, where once I was blind, now I see. Where once I was lost, now I am saved." Wasn't that the testimony of John Newton, whose life was a life of debauchery and shame? A slave trader who became a slave of slaves. Yet he could testify amazing grace, and God's grace is amazing. And that amazing grace reached into the heart of young Timothy. That amazing grace can reach into your heart. It reached into the heart of John Newton, and he said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." My friend, that can be your testimony even this night. That was a red letter day in the life of young Timothy. Friend, this can be a red letter night in your life. This can be graduation moment. If you will but come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The importance of Timothy's mother and grandmother, the good seed that was sown then, causes Timothy to rejoice as a new creature in Christ Jesus. He came to know the Lord as a Savior. He came to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And actually, when the Apostle Paul would leave down the cudgels of spiritual warfare, it was his desire that this young man would take them up and that he would fill his shoes. My friend, there's no knowing what God would do with your life if you would give it to him. That's what D.L. Moody said. He said, give your life to God. He can do far more with it than you ever can. The day that D.L. Moody was saved, he says, I was like a new man in a new world. He said, the sun shone brighter that day than it ever had done before, and it seemed as if it was shining just for me. There's a man in our church in Omaha. He'd been there the day it opened. And just last year, I was out with him, and we were getting into the car, and just about to start the car, and he said, switch that car off. Talking about a man almost 80 years of age. He said, my mother taught me the scriptures. He said, I've sat under the gospel all my life. I've seen other people saved. But he said, here I am, an old man, not saved. He said, switch that car off. And he said, would you point me to Jesus? And there he gave his heart to the Lord. I rang him the next day to see how he was. And his words to me were simply this. I'm a new man and I'm living in a new world. And friend, you can be a new man or a new woman living in a new world. You have known the scriptures. You have known the scriptures from you were a child. You have loved ones in their glory who preached to you, who prayed for you, who pleaded with you, who shed their tears in the place of prayer. Tell me this. Will you meet them in the glory? Pointed a man to the Savior. He said, I promised my mother on her deathbed I'd meet her in heaven. But he said, when the funeral was over, I never thought about it. Like a young man brought up, just as Timothy was brought up. And his father died when he was just a lad. And his mother, a Christian woman, struggled to bring him up. Teach him the scriptures. Pray every day that God would save the boy and that God would not only save him, but that God would raise him up to be a preacher of the gospel. But like many a young man, when he was 17 years of age, he kissed his mother goodbye and went out into a big world of sin. That broke his mother's heart, but before he left, she said, son, When you've gone as far as the world can take you and as deep as your sin can drag you, remember your mother's God. It wasn't down the garden path till he'd forgot what you'd said. And like the prodigal, he went out into a world and he never thought about God. He never thought about his mother's words. And he pursued one pathway of sin after another until one night, destitute, alone, and broken in his sin, he came into a little bedsit that he had rented, and he took a revolver, a loaded revolver, out of a drawer, and he cocked the hammer and put it to the temple of his head. And just as his finger was tightening on the trigger that would bring down the hammer and blast his soul into eternity and into a lost eternity, suddenly the words of his mother, like an arrow from a strong bow, "Son, when you've gone as far as the world can take you and as deep as your sin can drag you, remember your mother's God." And that young man, with a loaded gun in his hand, gave his heart to Christ, went on to be a great preacher of the gospel of Christ. You see, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But what about you tonight? Think back to childhood days. Cast your mind away back to parents who loved you, taught you the scriptures, prayed for you. What have you done with that glorious privilege? Was a day when Timothy gave his heart to the Savior. My friend, has there ever been such a day in your life? And if death were to call you into its cold embrace tonight, would that mean eternal separation from God? Loved ones, in the glory whose dear form you often miss, when you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Be a terrible thing to know the scriptures and die without Christ. Better you didn't know them at all. But friend, you don't have to die. There's a remedy for sin. There's a cure. There's a panacea in Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer when he inquired about as to how he could save. He said, "Believe." How simple is that? Oh, like Naaman, if you were told to do some great thing, would you not do it? But Jesus says, "Believe. Thou shalt be saved." And more than that, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. What a promise. Friend, would you trust this Christ? Would you trust him tonight? Would you trust him now? Let's bow together in prayer.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're still and quiet in God's presence. Maybe God has spoken to you tonight and you realize that you need to be saved and you realize you need to be saved tonight. If that is the case, my friend, could I urge you to come right now to the Savior? If you're not saved, or you're living in a backslidden state, you need to come back to the Lord. From that backsliding, I wonder just now, would you raise your hand? We'd remember you in prayer tonight. Is there one? We give you the invitation. Will you come to Christ tonight? Backslider or sinner, come now. Lord, speak to hearts tonight. Lord, save souls tonight. Bring men and women to the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.